Encourage you to open up to Mark's gospel. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've preached. So I'm a little nervous. It's been a long time since I've been up here preaching for you all. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, it's found on page 1064. 1064 of the New Testament. Your Bible's provided. So we've worshiped God in song. We've talked to the Lord in prayer. Now we get a chance to worship God or to get to know Him more fully through turning our attention to His Word. It's been several weeks since we've been here in the Gospel of Mark, like I said. And if you remember, this book is all about the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. We need to keep that in mind as we proceed. As we proceed through this. And every reading of this, and every time we read a gospel account, sometimes we could come to the gospel account with a matter of a fact type of approach. Well, here's just another miracle of Jesus. And kind of glance past it, move on. And we lose that awe, that wonder of who Jesus really is. You see, every page, every chapter, every single verse of the Scripture gives us more and more information of who Jesus is and what He has done for us. We should never lose that wonder. And every story, with its particular nuance, opens up and paints this greater and clearer picture of who He is. See, Jesus did so much in the Gospels. And as you read through the Gospel accounts, it seems like He virtually got rid of disease in all of Judea and Galilee region. But as John's Gospel tells us at the end, that if the Gospel writers were to write down everything that Jesus said and everything He did, the volumes couldn't be contained within this world. And yet God chose, through the power of His Spirit, through the leading of His Spirit, to give us these stories, these particular stories, for a very particular reason. Why? So that we might worship Jesus Christ all the more. So with that in mind, let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Mark 1, starting at verse 40. And a leper came to Him, imploring Him, and kneeling said to Him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, He stretched out His hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourselves to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in a desolate place. And the people were coming to Him from every quarter. This is the reading of God's Word. Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon it. God, we need Your understanding, so give us Your understanding far beyond we can comprehend. We thank You for Jesus, our Savior, our substitute and our King, who has touched the untouchable. That's us. We pray in His name, amen. Well, as we come to the close of this first chapter of Mark, we come to a story of Jesus' cleansing power. So significant the story that this story of the leper, that Matthew and Luke both add it to their account by compulsion of the Holy Spirit in their summary account of Jesus' ministry. Jesus had probably performed hundreds, maybe thousands of miracles up this point. But for some reason, we are given these details surrounding this particular work of Jesus Christ. It's not just part of that summary statement. Jesus performed many signs and many wonders. Rather, the details of this account are expanded for us in three of the four gospel accounts. And as we work our way through this passage this evening, I hope that you understand more and more of these details, that they're sharpened for you, they become more clear, but more importantly, that you come face to face with the living God, Jesus Christ, and understand these deep implications of what he has done for you. See, this story begins with a big dilemma. As Jesus said, Jesus performed many signs and wonders in this Galilean region. But please understand the significance. After hundreds of years of silence from God, hundreds of years without a miraculous work, on comes to the scene the strange man in the wilderness, John, preaching about the kingdom of God that is at hand. And then imagine, if you will, that you're in town and you heard of John, and now you hear of this carpenter's son, Jesus, performing these miraculous acts. And now he has come to your town. But there's a dilemma. You're a leper. You're unclean. Leprosy is very rare in our time. I think I read that there's probably 200 and some thousand cases worldwide of Hansen's disease, which we would call leprosy of that time. But in ancient times, leprosy was classified many skin diseases, but probably most importantly, understanding the deepest and the most affected leper was Hansen's disease, what we call today leprosy. In ancient times, lepers were the unclean of the unclean. It's a devastating disease. It's an infectious disease caused by bacteria. And it would begin with red blotches on the skin, soon turn scaly and white. You start to lose feeling. You become numb in your hands and your feet. Wounds start to appear on the skin, around the mouth and the eye socket. You begin to lose your motor functions. Your eyes, your nose begin to bleed. Facial features start to fall off, like the nose. Fingers start to fall off because of rot and decay. Horrific disease. Now, Mark's account doesn't tell us the severity of this leper's disease, but Luke's account, the physician, tells us that this leprosy was all over this man. This man was deeply affected by leprosy. Now imagine the pain, the suffering, how horrific a scene and disgusting a smell. Rotten flesh. The most unclean of the unclean. And if the physical pain and suffering was not enough, the leper was forced to live outside the city all alone. And if you want to turn really quickly back to Leviticus 13, I think it's found on page 115 of your Bibles, Leviticus 13, it gives you a list of all the regulations, from the simplest of leprosy, probably those with the psoriasis or skin disease, all the way to Hansen's disease. It tells you scene after scene and purification after purification. But if you want to know what this man experienced, look at verse 45. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair on his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Everything about this man cried out unclean. If you had leprosy, your clothes were torn and tattered like that of a mourner. Let everyone know that you're a leper by what you wear. You are forced to cry out as you walk down the streets, unclean, allowing everyone to get away from you. You are forced to live in isolation outside the city or the camp. You're separated from family and friends. You no longer can enjoy a birthday celebration with your children. You can no longer enjoy an embrace from a loved one. You are all alone. Just imagine that. Think about it, being ghosted by your friends through text message or being unfollowed on social media feels bad. Your body is decaying. You're forced to live alone in isolation. This is this man's life. Not only was it physical or social, but it was religious. It's a matter of purity. You're seen as unpure. And many would believe that this disease was a result of your own personal sin. So serious was the situation that to be cleansed, you had to go to the priest to receive cleansing. But if it didn't respond, you were again sent outside the camp. Body, your fellowship with others, you couldn't worship God in the tabernacle or in the temple, in the synagogue. This is your life. People of God, throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, this picture of uncleanness, this picture of leprosy is to draw us to a picture of our sin. When your clothes are torn, your hair is unkempt, and you cry out unclean, and you cry out and saying, I am the walking dead. I'm a dead man walking. This is a real life illustration of the hearts of men and women and children outside of Jesus Christ. Leprosy is a picture of sin. That sin leads to death. That sin leads to decay and rottenness of the soul. Sin makes you unclean. And in that uncleanness, you cannot be in the presence of God. Leprosy had no cure. No man could do anything. First and Second Kings, we're told there's a story about a leper coming to the king. He said, I can't do anything. Only God can heal leprosy. It's the same with sin. There's nothing you can do about your sin. But then there's this man. This man from Galilee. This leper says, I must see him. And against all the prescribed commands in the scriptures, given in the law, against the social protocols of the day, he comes to Jesus. Why? Because in Jesus, there was a hope. There's a hope that he can be cured. Look at verse 40. And the leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down. Luke's gospel says he falls on his face. Hear the man's desperation in his words. If you will, you can make me clean. He knew that Jesus had the power to heal him, if only he wanted to do so. He understood it wasn't something he deserved. He wasn't entitled to it. Rather, it was by the grace of Jesus alone, contingent upon his grace alone and his pity. This leper is asking for the grace, unmerited favor. So this evening, I'm not attempting to bring some emotional guilt upon you, but what I'm really trying to do is make you understand the ugliness of your soul outside of Jesus. If you're in Christ, I want to encourage you to reflect on your life before Christ and the sin that still remains. For when you reflect on your life, it should bring no pride, but understand the great mercy that God has shown towards you. That despite your ugliness, despite your rottenness and decay, you can come to Christ. If we looked in Matthew 23, we don't want to be like the Pharisees, do we? We're all clean on the outside, but inside we're full of dead bones and rotting. If you're here tonight and you're putting on a show, we might not be able to see it, but it's known by God. He knows your heart. He knows the perversion of your hearts. It's not hidden from Him, even though it might be hidden from everyone else. As hideous as you might be, this text tells us to be like this leper and come to Jesus. You may be consumed with all types of corruption. The wickedness of your past, the guilt of your past may be weighing you down. It may cause us, each one of us, as we look into your heart, if we could, because I know if you looked into mine, you gasp in horror. The good news is this. There's no one beyond the saving power of Jesus Christ. Like this leper who had no hope, rotting and decaying, he came to Christ. Yes, without Jesus, we're hopeless. We're to be driven from the camp, outside the presence of God. But come to Jesus. See, Jesus deals with that which the law of God condemns. Jesus doesn't remove the law, as we're going to find out and see here. Rather, what he does is he removes the condemnation the law of God requires. He deals with it. So be like this leper, coming in desperation, because you are the walking dead. You're filled with sin. You're ugly. And your relationship with the Holy God is broken. Come in reverence. Kneel down before Him. Worship Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'll do whatever you demand of me. I will follow you. Come in confession. I can do nothing in and of myself. If you will, Jesus, I know you can cleanse me. And the text goes on to tell us Jesus was moved emotionally by this encounter with this man with leprosy. It says he was moved with pity, or maybe better understood, he was moved with compassion and grace. The suffering of this leper was felt by Jesus. He understood this suffering led to separation from the community, but all more importantly, from God. I want you to see this detail. We know that Jesus could have just spoke. He's shown his power in this way. He could have said, "You're cleansed," like he did other times. But what the detail we have here is Jesus touched him. The clean touching the unclean. After years without being embraced by another, he had the hand of his Savior upon him. Jesus said, "I will be clean." And the change was immediate. As I described this leprosy, this man's face was restored. We don't know the details. His fingers came back. I don't understand. But it was drastic. You could see that he was touched by the Savior's hand. The sores vanished. Can you imagine this great scene? The broken body restored, the outcast welcomed back into the fellowship, the unclean washed and made pure, the walking dead brought back to life. And the story could have ended there, but it doesn't. There's much more to learn. Jesus charged this man sternly, sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." So Jesus gives us this charge: tell no one, head to the priests, observe the rites of purification, follow the law of Moses. There's a lot of details here tonight that I can't really go into, and I really don't have a lot of answers for. Why did Jesus tell him this? Why did this man not obey? Why didn't he follow the commands of Christ? But this I do know. As Jesus tells him to go to the priest, as God's law required through Moses, he says this as a proof to them. This man's been clean. It's proof to the naked eye that this man has been restored. So is it proof to the Pharisees that this man was clean? I think it's more important than that. The proof was that Jesus was who he said he was. That the Son of God, who'd come to save the world from their sins, was in their midst. And isn't this the tension between Jesus and the Pharisees throughout his ministry? Is Jesus who he says he was? Here's proof. As Isaiah says, when the blind see, when the lame walk, when the leper's cleansed, you will know that the Son of Man is in your presence. Jesus, Christ, is Son of God. You need to prove who Jesus is. He has made this man clean. I just want to ask you this evening, have you been touched by Jesus? Have you been washed? Have you been made clean? Were you the walking dead and made alive? If so, is there evidence in your life? Can it be clearly seen that you've been touched by Christ? Does your life reflect his commandments? Do you obey his word? Do you love him above everything else? Do you love the people around you? Do you serve him wholly and fully? We could spend a lot of time on the disobedience of this man, but I don't think that's the main point. What follows here, and what I want to conclude with this evening, is this. At the end of verse 45, as we leave here tonight and as we go into this week, I want your hearts and your minds to meditate on this. And is this. So that Jesus, says in verse 45, could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and the people were coming to him from every quarter. Do you hear it? Do you hear the representation here of the gospel? This leper, who was condemned to live outside the city, apart from the house of Israel, outside the church, who's now been freed and is now in the city, proclaiming what Christ has done for him. Through this, Jesus was forced outside the city, into the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, this is the great exchange, where Jesus took upon himself the penalty of our uncleanliness, freed us. As Hebrews says, he was taken outside the city and put to death for our sin. But he remained unclean. I mean, remained clean. For he was not affected by sin, although he took upon himself our sin. Brothers and sisters, this is the exchange that Christ has done for us. That though we were dead in our sins, though we were unclean, Christ has taken it away. Jesus has taken our place. He's left the glories of heaven. He left the glories of heaven to be in our place. He was separated from God in some sense when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was taken outside the camp so that you and I could be embraced by God. He's taken away your sin. He's taken away your guilt. He's taken away your corruption. He's taken away your shame. And he's given to you his righteousness, his holiness. For 1 Peter says this, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. If you don't know Jesus, if you've not been touched by him, come like this leper. Come in desperation. Come in reverence. Come in confession to him. And by the authority of God's word, I will say to you, he will say to you, I will be clean. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth found in it. We thank you for taking us and cleansing us. And Lord, as we know, sin still remains, and we still battle this side of heaven, we pray that you would strengthen us, keep rooting it out, and make us again more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. May our lives prove that we have been touched by him. And it's in his name we pray.